This is Watchan Lake Bible School 2024. This is class 4 by Brother Kitson Reed, and the title for this class is Encouraged in the Law of the Lord. Brother Kitson, please.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Yes. So let's pick up where we left off yesterday in 2 Chronicles. Today's subject is entitled Encouraged in the Law of the Lord. And so yesterday, didn't we, underlined the fact that Hezekiah had called people from up north to come down to worship God, to rejoice with them. There was the keeping of the Passover in the second month. And then we're told in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 25, the strangers came. And then in verse 27 and 26, we underline the fact that it seems that Hezekiah would gain great encouragement by pointing us back to 2 Chronicles in the context of Solomon's prayer. And it's as if, brothers and sisters, that Hezekiah is drawing from the annals of history to encourage his people. And in a very real way, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we do the same, don't we? In our Bible readings. We look at characters, we look at the context, we see the challenges and the triumphs in the lives of faithful men and women of old, and those who were unfaithful, lessons to be learned, because all these things were written for our learning. And Hezekiah brings to the fore those faithful of old. Brother Peter, in his talk yesterday, reminded us that seeing then that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And their lives spur us on, don't they? They spur us on. And Hezekiah reminds us of that beautiful principle. And so now, buoyed up with the enthusiasm, buoyed up with things now being put back into place, buoyed up with bringing in the sacrifices, the offerings, the joy, the singing again. Chapter 31 and verse 1. Now when all this was finished, now just notice back in chapter 30 verse 25, and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers, they came down to worship. Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present or found went out to the cities of Judah and break the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin, in Ephraim also and Manasseh. How do you understand that verse, brothers and sisters? Certainly back in chapter 30, there is a distinct definition between Judah, verse 25, and the strangers, and Israel. Are we then to suggest, in light of verse 31, that those from Israel, those from up north that they are so enthused. They go down to Judah and they help their brethren in destroying. That's how I read it. Now, when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and break the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin in Ephraim also and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned every man to his possession into their own cities. That's how I read it, brothers and sisters. Maybe you might see it differently. Please come and talk to me and show me your thoughts on it. I would be very much appreciative of that. Now, if that is the case, that those from Israel who had come down and experienced great idolatry in Israel, and they come down to Judah and they help them destroy their idols in Judah. Do you read it how I read it? Please come and talk to me afterwards and show me your thoughts. I would very much appreciate it. But here comes the question. Then all that the children of Israel returned every man to his possession into their own cities. Is that proper Israel? Or is that saying that after they had helped their brethren in Judah, they went back to Israel? Am I reading it right? Please come and tell me what you think. Proper Israel as a whole, or Israel from up north? Now, if that is the case, let's just continue with this thought. They had found a new spiritual strength. What would you do? You had brought your family. I just heard a sister say just now, I'd stay. Would you stay in Judah? Would you keep your family safe in Judah? You've experienced the Passover. You've experienced beautiful fellowship. Fellowship that you have never dreamt could ever be brought back into existence. Oh no. But now you and your wife and your children, you have a choice to make. Would you go back up north to face the challenges again? Yes, but I've got land up north. Right, but would you go up north? Yeah, but I've got family. Yeah, but would you go up north? Yeah, but what about the children? They've made friends in Judah now. They've been reminded of the fundamental bedrock principles of the truth and all that they must put in their lives. And if they go back up north, are you putting yourself in isolation, in spiritual isolation? What would you do, brother, to lead your family? You would pray about it with your wife. Wouldn't you? Maybe we might like to think about that over lunch. What would you do? And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests, the Levites, for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. He appointed. Notice verse 2. And Hezekiah appointed. Verse 3. He appointed. Verse 4. He commanded. And so in verse 2, 3 and 4 now, there is this wonderful momentum of ensuring that these things continue. The new moons. The Sabbath. Verse 3, the set feasts as it is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be, and this is our title for today, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. Now, I intimated this in our first talk, but let us, for a few moments, please, brothers and sisters, really use our imaginations on this one. In the days of Ahaz, as we said, there were no sacrifices, no offerings, nothing. Now, I want you also to imagine that you are a Levite with a family of, say, eight. You have no inheritance because God is your inheritance. So you're going to find it hard, right, to put bread on the table for your family. Why? Because we know that the offerings that were brought to the temple, part of it, of course, was given to the priest. Now, in the days of Eli, they had totally got it wrong. Give it me now. Remember the pronged, give it me now, or if not, I will take it by force. Therefore did men abhor the sacrifices of God. They put the people off from bringing sacrifices, didn't they? In the days of Ahaz, it was lean times. Lean times for those who ministered to God. And so Hezekiah, in his wisdom, of course, would make sure, verse 4, to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. Interesting phrase, that, encouraged in the law of the Lord. They were encouraged in service. They were encouraged in the law of the Lord. David, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, we won't go there because of time, just make a note of it if you want to. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, remember? When all seemed lost, when everyone was kidnapped, David encouraged himself, remember? When they wanted to stone David, his own men, remember? And 400 went over the river, and 200 who were too faint stayed by the stuff, remember? And David encouraged himself. We said in our first talk that because the window door, the doors of the tabernacle now, of the temple rather, was open, and all the blessings again started to flow. So here they come. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the fruits of corn, wine, oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in continually. Why, it's like Deuteronomy chapter 28, isn't it? And the references way back in the Old Testament under the law. You give me a tenth, and I will ensure that your barns are bursting. Verse 6. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. Now, verse 7 gives us a time period. In my margin for verse 6, for the word by heaps is heaps, heaps. Brethren, sisters, their barns were bursting forth. They had shed loads. Corn, wine, oil, oxen. They had so much, brothers and sisters. Heaps, heaps, the margin says. Now, we might like to just look and remind ourselves of this time period, this calendar year that we have before us. So this period of time between the third month, verse 7, in the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finish them in the seventh month. I want you please to just pigeonhole that period of time. It started on the third month and ended in the seventh month. Now, the third month that we might know is the month Sivan, the month of harvest and the ripening of the grain. And the seventh month, the Day of Atonement, on the tenth day, or make a note of it if you want to, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 2, it is called Ethanaim. Ethanaim. The Day of Atonement. And so what's happening here, this time period whereby God's people from the month Nisan, the Passover, right the way through to the seventh month, and within that period of time, the time of blessing, of ingatherings, where crops were coming in at a wonderful rate. The third month to the seventh month, you will notice. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Now notice this, then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And he looks at these heaps, shed loads. He says, haven't we given? I mean, there's so much here. Haven't we distributed it already to the priests? Why haven't you done it? They say, verse 10, and Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. Actually, sorry, King Hezekiah, what you see is what we've got left over. We've got so much, we don't know what to do with it. We've got shed loads. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers, storehouses in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them. Well, we've got to put it somewhere. We've got to put this somewhere. Oh, but I want us now to pay close attention to detail, brothers and sisters. Because this is what I call the joy of the find. Now, maybe most of you probably have a note of it somewhere, I don't know. But I am excited about things like this. Because it reminds me of the hallmark. The hallmark. The watermark of the hand of God in this wondrous word. Here it comes. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them, and brought in the offerings and the tithes, and dedicated things faithfully, over the which Kenaiah, the Levite, was ruler, and Shimei, his brother, was the next, and Jehiel, and Azaziah, and Nahath, and Asahel, Jerimoth, Jozabad, Eliel, Ismachiah, Mahath, Benani were overseers. And so these 12, notice, oh, you see where I'm going with this maybe, but just bear with me. Hezekiah commands 12 men to look after the stuff, to distribute, verse 14, and call the son. Now please, you don't tell me, you read and count for yourself. And just bear in mind, please, that Conai, that there are two here that are mentioned, so don't count them twice. Verse 14, and Kor the son of Imna, the Levite, the porter, toward the east, was over the freewill offerings of God to distribute. 12, give the charge to 7 to distribute the oblations of the Lord and the most holy things. Kor is one, Eden, Minaimim, Jeshua, Shemai, Amariah, and Shechaniah. In the cities of the priests, in their set office, to give to their brethren. 12 are chosen, and the 12 choose 7 to do what? To distribute, to give to their brethren. Okay, we're Bible students. Well, we know where we're going with this one, don't we? Well, I'll show you anyway. Come across, please, to Acts of the Apostles and chapter 6. Have you ever asked yourself, when you're reading these chapters here, did you think they just came up with the idea? There it is, Acts chapter 6. Just look back at chapter 5 for the context. Pay close attention to detail. Nothing is wasted in Scripture. No chapter division. Acts chapter 6, verse 40. The apostles are beaten. Verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. It was a time of rejoicing, wasn't it? And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration, the diakonia, the relief service, to distribute. Check it, please, in the Greek. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables, or to wait on tables, or to give food or money. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now do you think, brethren, says, and there it is, there are the 7. Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas. Now do you think for a moment, do you honestly think for a moment, that they just dreamt up the idea? They just plucked it out of the air somehow? No. Here were faithful brethren who would use the annals of the Old Testament scriptures to ensure that they would align themselves with the principles and practices of those who had gone before them. And they bring it into play best they could. Oh, brothers and sisters, they were attuned to the word of life, weren't they? 2 Chronicles chapter 31. So there they are, given over to the things of God in distributing. Verse 19. Also of the sons of Aaron, the priests, which were in the fields of the suburbs of their cities, in every several city, the men that were expressed by name to give portions. There is it is at end. To give portions to all the males among the priests and to all that were reckoned by genealogies among the Levites. It's as if the vast majority of these verses, Hezekiah was so intent, wasn't he, in blessing the priests, the Levites, to encourage them. There it is in verse 4, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. So let me ask a question, brothers and sisters. It's a simple one. When was the last time that you prayed for the arranging brethren? I won't ask you when was the last time you criticized the arranging brethren. But when was the last time you prayed for the arranging brethren? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about putting them up on a pedestal. Please. I'm talking about when there's an issue in the ecclesia. And you know there is an issue in the ecclesia. And you know that that particular business meeting is looming large on the horizon. What is your approach, sister? What is your approach, brother? Maybe these things that in ecclesial life, these questions and these challenges, and sometimes even personalities, if we are honest. What we can do is pray. Pray for those who guide. Hebrews tells us in the last chapter, as though those who will give account, pray that God will help and bring to fruition and bring good answers and right conclusions, and that God will confound those things if we just haven't got it right. And God wants to teach us as an ecclesia, in your individual ecclesias. Perhaps God wants to teach us something. And sometimes God might bring the problem back again and again and again until we learn to deal with it in the right way. I don't know. These are just my experiences, brothers and sisters. Maybe you're different here. I don't know. But we know human nature never changes. That's one thing we can always rely on. Human nature never changes. Back to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. I want us to draw your attention to this little phrase here. And the verse 19, to give portions to all the males among the priests and to all that were reckoned by genealogies among the Levites. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah and wrought that which was good and right and truth. That phrase amongst the kings is unique. I say, notice, amongst the kings. The nearest king that comes to this phrase, wrought that which was good and right and truth, is of course King Asa. Make a note of it if you want to. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 verse 2, where we are told in 2 Chronicles 14 verse 2, Asa did that which was good and right. That's the nearest we get. Please check it for yourself. But this little phrase here, I think, is really quite illuminating. This is what I would call, again, for me, in my personal Bible study, the joy of the find. Good and right and truth. I want us to keep a marker there, please, and come across to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, I'm going in, firstly, at chapter 8. Nehemiah and chapter 8. Now, I want us to notice carefully how many times the word law comes in this chapter. There is a deep respect for the law. There are, notice, 18 verses. The word law in this chapter comes 9 times in 18 verses. That's on average once every 2 verses. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 13, verse 14, and verse 18. Notice again, please, the context of the date, verse 2. Verse 1 for connection, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring. They took the initiative to bring the book of the law of Moses. Verse 2, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the 7th month. The context in Hezekiah is from the 3rd to the 7th month, you notice. But it goes on. They stood in the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday. How long is that? 6 hours? They were there. In the street. Bible readings. 6 hours from the morning until midday. Before the men and the women and those that could understand, and that the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. What reverence, brothers and sisters. This was a different mindset now. They were sent into captivity. Remember we said God sent them there? Until there was no healing, no remedy. The only remedy was for them to go into captivity, and then they came back a different people. Now they have a deep respect for God's word. He opened it all, and the people stood up. Can you not feel the respect of God's word, brothers and sisters? And pray God that as a community, we will never lose the respect, the reverence, the awe of God's word. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. And lifting up their hands, and they, here it comes again, bowed their heads and worshipped. That watch phrase that runs as a golden thread throughout the scripture. They bowed their heads and worshipped. They were so moved, brethren and sisters, all they could do was stand in awe and be reverential in their worship and in their service to their God that he had brought them thus far. Pray God that we will have the same spirit. How dare we tread these courts lightly? And they worshipped. What a thing, brothers and sisters. What a thing. Verse 14. Verse 13 now, they discover that they should be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. And on the second day were gathered, verse 13, together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law, and they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the on the seventh month. If we had time, we could look at, well, let me just go there very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 13, so you know. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 13. There it is. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase. Shed loads. And in all the works of thine hands, therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. And now we come back, please, to Nehemiah and chapter 9. Notice that reverential praise in chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law. Their God. God, 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part, they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. Now, just as an aside, did you notice verse 13 of chapter 9? Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws and good statutes. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 20. That's the origins of it. He did that which was right and good and true. And this little watch phrase which brings the chapter to life, for want of a better phrase, it's as if this wonderful prayer, that is given, this phrase, right and true and good, leaps out. Oh, and there it is, verse 15. And gavest them bread from heaven. God has always filled his hand to give to his people. That's the thing, isn't it? Verse 16, but they and our fathers dealt proudly. That's what Hezekiah is saying, our fathers. Verse 17, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain. Oh, did they now? Well, we're told there, back there in Numbers chapter 14, all they say is, remember, let us appoint a captain and let us return to Egypt. The suggestion is made in chapter 14 of Numbers, why he and Nehemiah tells us that they did appoint a captain back to Egypt. All right, possibly Korah, possibly, perhaps. So let's go back now, brethren and sisters, and just bring our thoughts together in terms of what Hezekiah did. Back to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. I'm going in at verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah and wrote that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. With all his heart. The reference in Kings says that Hezekiah trusted in God. Trusted in God in times of challenge, in times of great distress. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 reminds us of that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It's a standard verse that we teach our children. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So in a very practical way, brothers and sisters, we need to be encouraged to bring those principles in our lives. To trust in God. To try prayerfully and carefully to make those decisions, having the right motives in mind, that we might help our brothers and sisters. Maybe that is a good point to remind ourselves. Am I making that choice, that decision? Will it help my brothers and sisters? We all have individual choices, decisions to be made. What might be good for you might not be good for somebody else in their family. But as long as we approach these challenges, these decisions, in a prayerful, careful, honest way, reminding ourselves that we want God to be glorified. Did you notice that little phrase there where he says, he kept God's commandments to seek his God. He did it with all his heart and prospered. So, during today, as well as talking about maybe how decisions are made, and in terms of what would you have done with your family, would you have gone back up north? Would you be worried about their spiritual growth? To find the right friends? To associate themselves with other families of like mind? And they were. And so your children are in that environment where they can grow and have good standards and good values and good examples. So that's something to discuss. But I want to also, please, to think about that little, those last five or six words in the end of verse 21. In the context of Hezekiah being encouraged. And because of his heart was right with God, he prospered. Lovely little study there. So, my dear brothers and sisters, let us continue and forge forward in our faith and bless God with the increase of what we have, that he might be glorified.